All right, welcome back everyone to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be talking about something you don't often hear about, but is super important in the world of law.
Right.
Yeah, it's called joint liability. And basically what it means is figuring out who's at fault when multiple people might have contributed to someone getting hurt. And to really dig into this, we're going to take a close look at a really famous legal case, Hill v. Edmonds, which, believe me, is a lot more interesting than it sounds.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, the case itself, you know, it's not just some dry legal document. It's like a story. It's got a stormy night, a parked truck, and a car crash. And through all that, we get to see how the courts figure out who's responsible when multiple things go wrong.
Exactly. And it might seem obvious at first, like, who do you blame when a car hits a parked truck?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
But trust me, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
It's super nuanced.
So are you ready to unpack all of this with me?
I'm ready to dive in. Let's do it.
Okay, awesome. So first things first, let's set the scene for everyone. We're talking about this case, Hill v. Edmonds. Picture a dark, stormy night. Visibility is probably pretty bad, right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
And there's this tractor trailer just sitting in the middle of the road.
Oh, wow.
Not even pulled over to the side or anything. No hazard lights, nothing. Just a big, dark obstacle in the middle of the road. Along comes a car, and Gertrude Hill is a passenger in this car.
Go away.
And guess what? The car slams right into the back of this parked truck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. Now, the driver of the car, she later said she didn't even see the truck until it was, like, way too late, just a few car lengths away. She even said she lost consciousness after the crash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you've got this dangerous situation with the truck and a driver who, for whatever reason, couldn't avoid hitting it. Now, your first thought might be, well, it's the driver's fault,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, instinctively.
But that's where things get interesting. The courts, they didn't just jump to that conclusion. They really dug deep to figure out what happened and who should be held responsible.
So what did they decide? What happened in court?
Well, get this. At the first trial, the court actually said, nope, it's all on the driver. The truck owner's off the hook.
Really?
Yeah. They basically said the driver hit the truck, so it's entirely her fault.
Mm-hmm.
But the story doesn't end there.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, right. The case was appealed, and the appellate division, that's like a higher court, they take a completely different look at it.
Okay.
And it's at this point that things start to get really interesting in terms of joint liability.
So the appellate division, what did they think was wrong with the first court's decision?
That's a great question. They basically said, hold on, you can't just ignore the fact that the truck was parked in such a dangerous way. That definitely played a part in the accident, too.
Okay, so they're suggesting that maybe both the truck owner and the driver could be held responsible, like, together.
Yes, exactly. They were basically saying, you can't just look at the immediate cause of the accident. You got to look at all the factors that led up to it.
Like all the pieces of the puzzle.
Exactly. So the appellate division, they send the case back for a new trial with this broader perspective in mind.
So what happened next? Did they find, you know, both the driver and the truck owner to be at fault?
That's the thing. We don't actually know the outcome of that new trial.
Oh.
But the real importance of this case, and what makes it so important for us to discuss today, is that the appellate division set a really crucial legal precedent by saying, hey, multiple acts of negligence can all contribute to one bad outcome, and you can't just pick one person to blame.
Oh, I see.
And this brings us to the whole concept of joint and several liability, which is what this whole deep dive is about. So
right.
Are you ready to tackle that?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's break it down.
All right. So joint and several liability, it sounds kind of complicated, but it's actually not that hard to grasp once you wrap your head around it.
Yeah. Break it down for us.
So imagine you have multiple people and they all do something careless, something negligent, right?
Hmm.
And all those careless actions together, they cause one single injury to someone else. Joint and several liability means each of those careless people, each of those negligent parties, can be held responsible for the entire injury, for all the damages, even if their actions were only part of the problem.
Okay, so even if one person's actions seemed more directly related to the injury.
Exactly. And this is super important for the person who got hurt, the plaintiff. It means they don't have to try to figure out exactly how much each person is to blame.
Right.
They can just sue whoever they want, one person, some of them, even all of them, and try to get the full compensation they deserve.
Makes sense. So going back to Hill v. Edmonds, how does this apply to the case?
Well, even if we say the driver messed up by not avoiding the truck, the fact that the truck owner created this dangerous situation by parking his truck in the middle of the road, well, That means he could still be held responsible for all of Mrs. Hill's injuries, even if he didn't directly cause the crash.
That's really interesting. It's like, it's not about who did the most wrong. It's about recognizing that both of their actions led to the same result.
Exactly. It's like this chain reaction. Leaving the truck in the road, that was the first domino to fall. And yeah, maybe the driver not reacting properly, that was another domino. But the whole chain wouldn't have started without that first domino.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
Right. And the court, they even use this phrase, but for causation. Basically, they're asking, but for the truck owner parking his truck in the middle of the road, would this accident have happened the same way?
That's a good way to think about it.
Right. It makes you think about all the different factors that can come together to cause an injury. And that's why joint and several liability is so important. It recognizes that sometimes it's not about assigning precise percentages of blame. It's about making sure that the person who got hurt can actually get compensated for their losses.
And this whole idea has been around for a while, right? Like the appellate division wasn't just making this up on the spot.
Oh, absolutely not. They actually cited earlier cases like Hancock v. Stieber and Matthews v. State of New York, where the same principle was applied. It's like this longstanding legal tradition of saying, hey, if your negligence played a part in someone getting hurt, you can't just point the finger at someone else and say it's all their fault.
Right, right.
Makes sense. Right.
Absolutely.
So going back to the trial court, it seems like they were so focused on the driver's actions that they kind of overlooked the role of the truck owner.
Yeah, maybe they just missed the bigger picture.
But the appellate division, they took a much wider view and said, hey, both of these people messed up and both of their actions were necessary for the accident to happen.
Like, you can't have one without the other.
Exactly. And this is where joint and several liability gets really interesting, especially from a practical standpoint.
Okay, how so?
Well, imagine if the driver, in this case, didn't have much money or insurance. If the first court's decision had stood, Mrs. Hill might have been left with no way to get the compensation she deserved, even though the truck owner was clearly part of the problem.
Yeah, that would be really unfair.
Right. So joint and several liability, it acts like a safety net. It means she can go after whoever has the money to pay, even if their share of the blame is later decided to be smaller.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about protecting the victim, making sure they don't get stuck with nothing just because one of the responsible parties can't pay up.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about fairness for the injured party. But it also raises a really interesting question that we have to consider, and that's fairness to the defendants, the people who are being sued.
That's true.
What if one person's actions were way worse than the others?
Yeah.
Like in Hill v. Edmonds, what if later it came out that the driver was speeding in horrible conditions and the truck was only slightly blocking the road? With joint and several liability, the truck owner could still be held responsible for everything, even though his actions might seem less serious.
Yeah, that seems a bit, I don't know, one-sided.
Right. That's a valid point. And it's something that people debate a lot when it comes to this whole concept. Some people say it can be unfair to a defendant who was only a little bit at fault.
Yeah, because.
But the other side of the argument and what the courts seem to focus on is that both parties were negligent. They both did something wrong that contributed to the injury. And in these cases, the law often prioritizes making sure that the injured person is fully compensated.
I see. So it's like a balancing act.
Exactly. It's about balancing the needs of the victim with fairness to the defendants. And it's not always an easy thing to do.
So for those listening, especially you law students out there, what are the big takeaways from Hill v. Edmonds and this whole idea of joint and several liability?
Well, first, always keep in mind that but for causation, ask yourself, would this injury have happened the same way if this one action hadn't occurred? And remember, in cases where multiple people are negligent, it's not just about who was more at fault. It's about whether each person's actions directly contributed to the harm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And secondly, remember that joint liability gives the plaintiff, the person who got hurt, the power to go after any or all of the negligent parties for the full amount of the damages. This can be a huge advantage for them in terms of getting what they deserve.
Absolutely.
And finally, always think about the bigger picture. This principle of joint and several liability, it's not just some random legal rule. It's there to protect victims, especially in cases where it's hard to figure out exactly who's to blame for how much or when one of the people who caused the harm can't afford to pay. Hill v. Edmonds is a perfect example of how all of this plays out in the real world.
So to sum it up, Hill v. Edmonds tells us that when different negligent acts all come together to cause one injury, everyone who is negligent can be held responsible for the whole thing, even if their part seems small compared to someone else's.
Exactly. And that's because the law recognizes that all those actions, big or small, were necessary for the injury to happen.
It really makes you think about all the different ways accidents and injuries can occur. It's not always black and white, and sometimes responsibility is shared.
It certainly does. And this brings us to a really important question for everyone listening, especially as we navigate this increasingly complex world where so many things are interconnected. How do we as a society and through our legal system figure out how to fairly hold people responsible when things go wrong?
Right. It's not always easy to say who should be held accountable and for how much, especially when multiple people's actions all contribute to the problem.
It's a really important thing to think about, a question that goes beyond just the specifics of Hill v. Edmonds. It's something we all have to grapple with as we try to create a just and equitable society.
Some serious food for thought.
It really is. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Take care.